Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Sir Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Let's go. Gary Curry, have you ever joined in? Let's do this. Bum, 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 bum. Talking sports with the 12th man. It is officially kicking off. Man, June is flying by fast. We are steadily getting ready to head into July. But again, we have a lot of exciting news for you guys. Again, always jump into Talking Sports, the 12th man. So without further ado, let's get this party started. Apparently, fellas, things are opening up. It feels like you guys are on the road doing things, man. But again, I want to welcome you to this Wednesday, again, back on Wednesday nights. Let's get this party started. We got to check in with the fellas. I'm sure some way, somehow, Rob Ford has again added asparagus into his diet some way, somehow. But again,
you know,
checking
it
with Mr. JQ. How you feeling, bro?
Oh, I can't complain, man. I just went to go holler at my homeboys for a little bit, so I'm in the car right now. But I'm on the way home. I'm doing good. Got some golf in yesterday, and ready to talk some sports. I got baseball back, and then we're gonna delve into that. So really excited.
Yeah, man. I think Rob started that topic off just for you, JQ. Baseball is officially back. Can't wait to dive into that. And again, we will set the stage with that very, very soon. Let's check in with my other guy. Apparently, he is also on the road, Rob Ford. How you feeling, T-Bag?
Hey, you mentioned man. Just came back from eating a great meal. Had some beautiful soft shell crab, man, to go with that asparagus.
Ooh.
And of course, you know, in New Orleans. So, you know, you got to have some seafood gumbo with a little okra in it, too. Yeah, you know, you got to have the okra in it, too, man. So, feeling good right about now. And, people, listen up. To all of our listeners across the world, across the nation, wear your mask. Wash your hands. Social distance. And they got people out here that's bold enough to wear Falcons jerseys and Cowboys jerseys. Y'all can wear your mask.
Oh, my goodness. Bro.
Please.
He's like firing shots. We about to hang up on Rob in a quick second, but we'll let him move.
I got my red mask
second.
In my hand.
JQ does
Thank
have
you,
a mask
JQ.
On, too. Gary, Curtis,
this
I know you checking in from the West Coast. What is that? Does that say Reds on that, too, JQ? I don't know. Be
oh,
careful,
yeah,
man.
Yeah,
okay,
like,
it does. Okay,
I put a light
okay.
on for you.
Okay. No, I'm
we're doing okay here. We're trying to get into this whole Zoom thing, but we're hanging in there.
Should you
and
just,
Robert, you should not be surprised to see a Cowboy jersey.
Uh-oh.
We've talked about
oh,
this
God.
Before. You're going to see more of them, no matter where you're at. Enjoy.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
oh gosh.
That's America's team.
Oh, here we go.
It used to be.
Hey,
if you talk, you know, all you have to do is look at Forbes magazine. They're the highest priced, highest valued team in the world, not just the NFL.
World.
Yeah,
so you're
I
right.
Jump off
they used to be America's team.
The way down.
They used to be America's team. You're right. Now we're the world's team.
Hey. That's because there's too many dumbasses that follow them.
You better talk to the TV network.
Hey, you guys were the Aints until you pulled your coach away from the Cowboys.
Then you got
a chip. You one hit wonders. I'm gonna shoot from the bow. We're gonna shoot back.
And I'm old enough to remember, but I remember.
It's not
I'm
like
old
it's
enough
an
to
answer,
remember.
Right?
I'm old enough to remember when the Saints fans were made wearing paper bags with the eyes cut out.
Those days are coming.
Oh, man. Curtis, don't hurt them like that. Don't tell them your age.
Yeah, they were wearing paper bags. Oh, God.
Oh, man. You're on fire today.
Watch the Billy Shoe White Shoes do that little chicken dance in the end zone. Oh, God.
It's been 25 years since the Cowboys played the NFC Championship game. Even the Falcons
too
have been
long
since then.
Oh, man. I don't know if that's good.
It is.
Throwing shots, man.
You're right.
Oh, man.
But,
you know,
Sean's a one-hit wonder. Yeah, but,
wow.
You know,
Okay, let's go. Y'all are wild.
Let's go. It's baseball time. 60 games.
Yes.
The real deal.
Yep.
Before we get this party started again, please, Gary, Curtis, hopefully you guys can jump into the Zoom. I don't think anything changes, man. Again, it's just clicking on that. It's the same exact link every single week. I'll send you one more invite to make sure that you guys are good to go because, again, nothing has changed with that. The meeting password is 204180, but I don't think you should have any trouble with that. So is it saying anything whenever you try to log in or what?
Well, it's showing the host is on another meeting in progress.
Yeah, it was a little different, right?
Yeah, that's what I was getting last week. I had to do it from my phone last week.
I'm doing it from my phone right now.
Okay. All right. Let me see something here. The meeting is not locked. We're going to come in. All right. Good deal. We'll figure this out because it shouldn't change, but I'll get – all right. While I'm figuring this out, I'm going to throw out the numbers real quick. I know Lou is on as well. Appreciate you, Lou, jumping in. Really quickly on the show, the same exact number, the 424-243-9519 is the number. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12TH. MAN Sports, and then we are also on Facebook. Website page is coming too, but Facebook is Talking Sports with 12 Men, or if you put in 12 Men Sports, you will find us as well. So I know everyone's getting settled, and let's talk. Yeah, the big news is that baseball is back. I'm actually going to let JQ kind of start this off. We got a 60 game season. We're going to talk about the favorites to win the World Series as well. And yeah, JQ, man, are you excited? Is this enough? I mean, it's a little under half here. But your thoughts about baseball being back and all the good jazz, bro?
Oh, yeah, man. I'm super excited. I've been chomping for it and championing for it for the past couple weeks. They finally got their act together. I was with the players, but at some point you got to go out there and just play ball because you're talking about millionaires and billionaires fighting over money. You got to go out there at some point and play ball. So they're at that point now. I'm really excited. You know, you're going to play 40 games against your division of opponents, and you're going to play 20 interleague games against the same division in the opposite. So for my Reds, they will play the AL Central and they'll play just the NL Central. I'm slightly bummed because I won't get a chance to see them play here in Atlanta since that won't be on the 60-game schedule. But I'm still really excited to have baseball back. The NL getting the DH for the first time ever, that is going to be ridiculous.
Really?
That's
very ridiculous.
I'm not really about that, though. I mean, for one season, I'm okay with it, but I'm a National League purist. I like the whole strategy of having the pitchers bunt and double switching and all that other good jazz. But for one season, to try to get the interest back into it, I really do enjoy them having DH for this 1 year. I'm not really super fond about the whole extra innings. You know, you put a player on second base because I'll tell you guys, I work for the Gwinnett Stripers, who are the Braves minor league team, and they've been doing this in minor league baseball. And you think it's going to get the game over quicker, and I promise you that it's not, because the same dudes to take advantage of it in the top of the inning, they also take advantage of that in the bottom of the inning. So I think we're going to find out real quickly that it's not the panacea that people think it's going to be to not have 15-inning games. You're still going to have those long games just because if you've got a major league team with a player on second base, they're going to be able to find a way for them to score with no outs. And now you're killing your relievers' ERA because you're giving them a runner in scoring position right off the gate. So that piece of it I really don't like. I didn't like it for minor league, and I don't like it for a major league, but super excited to have baseball back. I'm excited about my Reds. I really feel like we got a good rotation. We got some good position players. We'll see how it shakes out, but just to get some sports back and have some baseball going, man, so excited.
Yeah,
Yeah. So, yeah. Really, yeah.
What was that?
That matchup where you have, when the National League is the home team, you have the pitchers batting. When the American League is the home team, you have the DH. I think that sets the National League up for a slight disadvantage in some of those matchups. The American
right.
League teams have built their rosters to have an additional hitter like that for the DH position. The National League doesn't really set that up. And I think that could really be at a disadvantage for the National League. But that being
it's
said,
not
the
universal
Dodgers
DH?
Are loaded offensively.
Well, I thought it was a universal DH in the 60-game sprint. Is it not?
Yes, it is. But I'm just saying, the American League, they built their rosters to have a DH. And the National League does not. And I think that when it comes down to a World Series play, when you got the American League winner against the National League winner, the American League team is set up to have a DH on their roster already. The National League is not. And I think that's where you might come to a slight disadvantage. But that being said, the Dodgers are huge favorites in the National League, and their lineup is loaded. I mean, they have batters all up and down their lineup, so it may not affect them a whole lot. But overall, the American League is set up to have the DH, that extra hit on their roster. The National League is not.
But I think what happens, though, also, is they have expanded rosters, right? So those guys you might have sent down to spring training or whatnot that might have been on the edge of the roster spot that can actually be with the big club, I don't think it's as big of a disadvantage this year because of the expanded rosters, because of the whole corona virus, where they want to have more people available to where it would have been in a previous year. So I agree with that in a previous year, but right now with the expanded rosters, I think, you know, you've got a lot of dudes right now, if you want to be honest, that can just hit and they can't do anything else. And that's part of the reason why they go to the minor league team instead of being with the big club. So with an expanded roster, you have that ability to just have that dude that can just crank a ball, period, and he has to play no position. That gives the National League a little bit more of an equal footing.
Overall, it was very exciting to get baseball back. I mean, right now we're looking at a July 23rd, July 24th start. About a week later, you get the NBA back. Although if you got a few NBA players opting out not to come in and play, I think overall starting to get sports back. And, you know, Major League Baseball are going to play in their home parks, but just not going to have any fans. So, JQ, you know, I don't know if that's a consolation prize. Even if the Reds were coming to Atlanta, it wouldn't be any fans anyway.
Well,
but I think it's still exciting just to get some sports back in the fold, with or without fans. So, I'm excited. I'm excited about the baseball season. I'm excited about the NBA. And then, of course, shortly thereafter, we'll be having the preseason of the NFL. We still don't know exactly what that's going to look like. I know that's a topic a little later on our show. Can the NFL operate in a bubble system? But we don't know what it's going to look like. But I think it's pretty safe bet to say I don't see us having any fans at NFL games either.
I agree. I'm sorry. You're absolutely right about the baseball. That's my fault. You're right. I couldn't go either way it went.
Yeah.
Go ahead, man. Let's go to New Jersey.
Andre, you still with us?
Yeah. I'm still here. It's going to look weird, you know, being with what's been going through this season. You know, I don't know how the baseball purists think about, you know, with universal DH, you know, because the National League has never done that. The extra inning rule, it's going to be kind of strange, too. Although I know it's
weird.
The minor league system and international league play as well. You wonder, though, if this does become successful, will they adapt it permanently? You know, that's what I'm thinking.
I think the DH is going to be adapted permanently. I think that players union with the relievers, because think about it. You're coming in as a reliever in the 10th, 11th inning, and you're already inherent in a runner on second base with no outs. You are going to destroy the ERA of those late-inning relievers with that system. I think that's okay for this year. But I'm telling you, I've seen it in person. It doesn't give you what you think is going to happen. I haven't seen it in person. You think, oh, well, the first team is going to score. But you also have to understand that team coming out the back in the bottom of that inning is also going to get that same advantage. It's just going to destroy. When you mess with somebody's money,
so your best pitcher,
as a relief pitcher, You're messing with their ERAs, and you're going to mess with their ERAs when you put a runner in scoring position with no outs. And I really think they're going to look at that and say, you know what, I can go with the DH, even though that goes against the Pirius, like you just said, but having that runner on second base is going to hurt a whole lot of ERAs bad.
Yeah, I mean, of course, there had to be a downside to it. Yeah, like you said, the home team is going to have the same advantage in the bottom of the inning as well.
Yep.
So
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I know they want quicker games, but try all you may, you just can't speed up the game. I've always said that. You just can't speed up baseball.
No, you can't. You really can't.
No.
You can't.
It could be anywhere from a 2-hour and 15-minute game to 4 hours.
Or more.
Well, yeah, I know all about it.
Yeah, but one of the things I like about it, I like jobs. And I like good jobs. So if you have both leagues have a DH, that's another job. And I cannot see anything negative about more jobs in any league that pays people good in this country. So I can definitely go for, and I know what people seem to watch is offense. And this is the time baseball really needs the catchers for fans, more younger fans. And by this game season, it's added some urgency in the baseball that is probably really good for it. And, you know, they got a captured audience because of this pandemic thing that we're in. So put it on and get it going and put some offense going and capture people's imagination and get more of a fan base for that sport.
Right. Unless you're, of course, the Pirates or the Padres. Ooh, oh.
I'm
a Pirate.
Or the Marlins.
Well, I'm a Pirates fan.
Sorry.
What?
Oh, my goodness.
Curtis, you're taking a lot of shots on your Cowboys and your Pirates tonight.
I grew up with Roberto Clemente. And there's nothing else more important to me in baseball than Roberto Clemente.
Right.
Very nice. Okay, very cool. Do we get Gary on? Is Gary in the background here? Is he good? What's happening?
Yeah, I'm good.
Yankee fan.
You know, I'm just licking my wounds from all those shots from Rob, you know, and all that hatred towards the Cowboys, and I'm just sad. I feel sorry for him.
You shouldn't feel sorry for him. Like you said, he was getting a lot of Cowboy jerseys down in Northern.
Yeah, I shouldn't feel.
Represent Cowboys in your cat.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of the Cowboys, and we'll get to this too. We're going to talk about the serious topic too. But looks like Dak Prescott will sign that franchise tender, and he's going to get a long-term deal. It looks like, and then it looks like you guys are the favorite to actually sign Jamal Adams. So Curtis and Gary, the floor is yours. What about that? What are your thoughts about Dak and Jamal Adams, if you will?
So, you know, until he signs on the dotted line, you know, and I figured that he would sign, you know, his tag. I'm hoping they get that long-term deal done, of course, by July 15th. And, you know, with free agency, you never know. You never know until, I mean, that would be a great pickup for the boys. So, what do you got, Curtis?
Well, it depends on what they give up. She's not going to come cheap. And we definitely don't want to give up too much on our defense or offensive line.
You guys got a solid defense. So, is that you make a move like that if you're thinking that you are, you know, kind of definitely on the cusp. So, this is the opportunity to make that make a pretty powerful move like that, too. You solidify your quarterback. Maybe you think coaching was a challenge last year. So that's why you do a lot of different things on the on that side of the you know, whenever you get into coach. So now you're thinking, hey, I get my quarterback, Zeke's come back, you know, let's get this defense done. So that's why you make a move.
There's another dynamic here that I'm wondering about. And I'm wondering about McCartney and what kind of coach he wants to be for the Cowboys. And if McCartney having him on a franchise tag to kind of get a feel for what he has in Dak and see if that's something he wants to work with. I think that's another dynamic here with Dak that's going on, and I think that's on the coach and what direction he wants to go, and does he see in Dak, which he hasn't seen yet until we get the season going, what he wants to see in Dak.
Unless Dak thinks he's worked with Brett Favre and has some things. Go ahead, and Aaron Rodgers. Go ahead, Rob.
Okay. Well, I mean, obviously, it's good news for the Cowboys that he's signing his 1-year franchise tag, obviously for over $31 million. So you at least got that, you know, you're not going all the way to the deadline of July 15th here. But I think the key of it is, I think if you're the Cowboys, Dak Prescott wants a shorter deal for 3 years. If you're the Cowboys, why are you so sold on signing to a 5-year deal? I think that's a great opportunity to sign him for a reduced year. Obviously, Dak wants a shorter contract to see if he could cash in on a larger contract. But I think if you're the Cowboys, I think I would take that risk as well, because you may have an opportunity. You give him 3 years to see what he can do as well. And I don't see what the big deal is with the Cowboys on that front. Why are you just sold on him signing a 5-year deal as opposed to a 3-year deal? But I don't really quite understand that. The Jamal Adams situation, I don't know where that's going to go. I know that he said the Cowboys would be a preferred destination. I'm not sure. You know, I'm not sure if he's going to go anywhere outside of the Jets, especially right now with what's happening with this pandemic and things of that nature. It still would be hard for me to see him not in the Jets uniform this year.
Wow. Yeah, well, to your initial question, it's because of cash. And I think what the fear for the Cowboys is that this year might be a flight cap, but you keep seeing that the quarterback market keeps going up and up and up. So if he's able to hit that market again in a shorter time frame, you got to renegotiate it, you know, in 2 years, really, because you don't want him to go into his last year as a lame duck. So if you do 3 years, you're basically just looking at 2 years. And then saying, okay, now we got to go back through this all again. They want to sit back and say, okay, give me four. What I've heard they want to do is 5 years. So that gives them 4 years to have him. And then you say, okay, and then we go back into it 4 years later as opposed to doing it for 2 years. So to me, that's where their sticking point is. And I somewhat get it only because of the way the market and the way the inflation is rising for quarterbacks, because you get those wins and those Jared Goff deals in there and then inflate the numbers. As far as Jamal Adams, come on, man. The Jets have no incentive to deal him. He's still got 2 years left on that deal. Yeah, you can be traded to whoever the hell you feel like you want to be traded to, but guess what? We ain't going to do it. You better be playing strong safety for us, or you're going to be sitting on the bench. That's what it is. And then if you're the Cowboys, how are you going to pay him? Three guys, and Zeke, and Amari Cooper, and the offensive line. Like, where are you going to skip? You're not going to have a special teams? Like, at some point, come on, man. You can't pay everybody, though, and Jamal Adams is going to want big money, and I don't disagree with him. I think he's a really good safety. But once you spend the money on your core already, the people that are already Dallas Cowboys, it's really hard to go get somebody else that also wants a big money contract. So I just don't know if I see that happening.
Okay, that's a good call. Lou, what you got?
Prescott, I think it was a given that Prescott was gonna sign. I mean, that's I think too much to give up. Yeah, you know, so it was pretty much gonna be a done deal.
Done deal. Right,
you gonna
Kirk Cousins
that thing out? And to your point, you signed him for. But if he goes for 32, and that's probably a little under where Dallas was gonna sign him if they did it. He was probably gonna be about 35, 36. So they get a little bit in terms of this money. But once you try to franchise him again, doesn't it go to like 37 or something crazy?
Yep.
So then, because you get that kicker. So, like, you only save it. So you're basically kicking that can down the road with this right now. But Dak is still sitting there like, okay, I'm confident in my skills. I'm going to get this 32 fully guaranteed, and then it's going to go up to 37. Now you're back in my ball range anyway. So let's talk then.
Nice. All right. Good call. All right, gentlemen. Pretty serious topic here. I know we're going to talk about the prediction for the Bears and the best situation for Cam Newton and Colin Kaepernick, if you will, and then productive rookies here. But NASCAR had a pretty amazing event with Bubba Wallace and coming out just to support. That was great to see that. And I guess there was something that was said that they had a noose in the garage, and the FBI actually came out and said that it was there since 2019 of October, if you will. That's what they're saying. And I guess the question is, do you agree with that statement? And I know it can be controversial because maybe they're trying to dispel a lot of things. The country, we're at an interesting place right now, I think, because of COVID and everything that's happening with George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and Aubrey, and the three gentlemen got indicted too today. So a lot of things happening. So do you think they kind of wanted to kind of like calm down what's happening with this, or what do you think about this? I'm starting with you, Rob, on this particular topic.
Well, I'll be honest, to me, something just sounds a little fishy here. And I like what NASCAR is doing here. I like what them taking down the Confederate flag. And I like the stance that they're taking with Bubba Wallace as well as a lot of the other drivers. But it's hard for me to believe that noose was in that garage since October 2019. And it just so happened to be in the same garage where Bubba Wallace is. I don't know. it's hard to bet against the FBI, but to me that just sounds a little fishy here to me. I don't know. it's hard for me to believe that that was just a coincidence that has been in that same stall since October 2019, and it just so happened to be in the same stall where Bubba Wallace was this past week. I just don't know if I'm buying that.
Yeah, so you heard the full story is that apparently that it was used to pull the garage door open and close, and they have it. They say it's fashioned as a loop through the hole to pull the door up and down is what the story is. I'm with you. And my thing is, if that's the case, how does it blow up this big? How are not all the nooses for all the garages fashioned the same way? So, you know, it's hard for me as well. That it's almost like they almost had to give a little bit back because of the Confederate piece that you just said. And I'm really proud of them for that as well. It was like, okay, well, we took two steps so we can take a step back and, you know, throw a little chum in the water for everybody else that wants to, you know, poo-poo, and maybe they'll come back and say, oh, well, NASCAR finally got it right this time. So, yeah, that's a ball phrase right there. I hate the brace. But, I mean, I agree with the pushing of the car after that happened by all the drivers was so powerful. And you thought you would never see that in NASCAR with the only black driver having all of them behind him and pushing his car through there. I just really hope, you know, I'm pulling for Bubba just to do better in the races, because what I don't want to have happen is they do these things and he keeps finishing in the back of the pack and people come back and say, why are y'all going through all this dude? He sucks anyway. And I know it doesn't matter on your on-track performance given what's happened, but it would help so much if he was a threat to win week in and week out, and he's just not there yet. And I know that sucks to say out loud, but it's also really true. I get why they reacted that way, because you just can't have a somewhat of a noose hanging no matter what the FBI has said. But, man, I just want Bubba Wallace to do better in these races just to keep it at the forefront, because if he keeps finishing in the back, they're going to say, why are we wasting our time on this dude? I don't want the message to be lost in that.
Yep, totally agree with that. Gary Curtis, I finally joined the party.
They joined us.
We're challenged with this sort of thing, so give us a break.
Y'all had to go change out of them Cowboys jerseys before y'all got on camera, right?
No.
Come on,
you want to see my underwear?
No.
No.
I'll take that as a yeah.
We will, No.
No.
Oh, man. That went fast. Really? That went fast. Whoa. No. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on this, though?
It's all love, Gary. We got to make it fun.
Hey, I tell you what Bubba Wallace did for me. Bubba Wallace has me curious now. I never was a guy that watched. The only auto race that I would watch would be the Indianapolis 500. The rest of them before this, I, you know, but I know who Richard Petty was, and I know Richard Petty is a legend, and it was good to see him being on Richard Petty's team and Richard Petty doing what he did in this push the car incident. The FBI, you know, whatever, that's going to be the official thing with the investigation. So you're going to have to accept it.
I don't accept it, and I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it that's been in there for months. I think that's just so – and then nobody saw it until – it's or it's been in there, and it's been, what, pulling down some garage door or whatever, and no one noticed it until now. I'm just not buying that. I heard that, and as soon as I heard that, I'm like,
what?
Yeah, that's not right.
It was a scratch your head thing. But I always say, move on. Let's go. Move on. Now he's got me curious, and I think he's got a whole bunch of other people curious. And good for Bubba Wallace. And keep the pressure on that Confederate flag. A lot of people are going to try to do weaponize it, and they're going to try to keep that thing stoked in that series. And the biggest thing that he can do for me right now is make sure that thing never comes back.
Well, and I love the fact that, you know, so many cities around the United States are, you know, are ripping down all the, you know, changing names of streets, ripping down these statues of Confederate soldiers, you know, and it, you know, for the, I'm just going to say it. Before all this happened, I would see these statues, and I never really put all of this stuff together. I didn't realize all of this, you know, this. And I'm thinking, why did they put these up initially or all over the country? These are enemies of the United States. That's what they are. The Confederate Army was, you know, they were against the United States in this whole thing. And would we ever have, you know, some thing of Hitler or, you know, some of these others or the Emperor of Japan or whatever, statues of them all over? No. To me, it's the same exact thing. I'm glad that they're yanking these things out. I'm glad that they're destroying them. And I'm watching the TV and I'm watching, this is political, but I'm watching our own president saying that that people don't know what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing. And they're doing it intentionally. And I'm still supportive of them.
I'm glad that came to a head. But it's, you can't let off the gas.
No.
Can't let off the gas.
No.
And I've always considered the Confederate flag the anti-American flag. And every time I've seen in history school segregation, don't cross the Pettus Bridge, all these things in history have the Confederate flag front and center of why we can't be equal. And that's what it means to me every time I see it. This is some people that can't see America, and they can't see me as an equal. That thing has to go.
Lou, what do you got on this real quick?
Yeah.
Well, I think that, you know, I mean, this is causing a lot of change now, the way we view sports. And I think that Bubba was set up, I mean, with that news that was hanging at, since almost a year now, since October, it had to be all set up.
Mm.
Yeah, he was completely framed. And I applaud. Yeah. And I applaud. Well, Bubba was saying, you know, he wanted to take the Confederate flags down. Look, last I heard, we were all Americans, whether we were in the North, or the South, or whatever. So I think it was right, and it was time to take that Confederate flag down. And let's just act like that we're all Americans, all one country, once and for all. I mean, because this other stuff with the protesting and the right. Protesting is one thing, protesting peacefully. But if you're going to go be a stark, raving, babbling lunatic and burn everything down, I think we got a real problem.
Well, see, and those aren't the protesters. You've got peaceful protesters that are out there.
That's fine.
And you've got then you've got another element of people that wants to take advantage of these sort of situations.
So they can
they're not
crime.
The protesters.
Yeah.
The peaceful protesters are walking across the bridge, you know, all together, you know, as one for all of us. No matter what, you know, no matter whether from the, you know, LGBT community or whether you're, you know, whatever race you are, whatever, we're all walking together as one to be one in this country.
Yeah,
those are two entirely different things and different people. Those other people, they come in. I mean, we've seen them. I'm watching this, you know, all evening long, you know, especially out west. And we've seen a lot of it because Oregon, you know, in Portland and Seattle, San Francisco, those are really big. Those are sanctuary cities. So we see a lot of these protests first. And what we've seen with these is we've seen these protesters, and you can listen to these guys. They're saying they're leaving. And they're saying, thank you, have a good night, you know, drive safe. We'll tell you, we're meeting at such and such park tomorrow, you know, gather there. And then you see all these other people moving in. Those are two separate issues. Make no mistake about it. The protesting that's been going on has been fantastic.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Before we get too, like, carried away, too, because I know we are definitely going to stop right at 12 o'clock to make sure the East Coasters can get going up for going in. So just a quick FYI, I know we're going to wrap this up pretty quickly, too, because we can spend probably a good hour talking about this 100%, too. And those are great points for you,
right,
too. I don't want to cut off on that power, too. But I do want to make a quick point. And do you guys get the Players Tribune? Are you guys subscribed to that, by the way? Yes, no?
Heard of
you
it.
Talk about
I'm
the
not.
Players
I don't
Tribune?
Have a subscription with
okay. Me. So if you do, I would definitely recommend. I can see this article too. There's a great article about it's by Kevin Prince Boateng, and he's a soccer player in Germany. You know, obviously a black guy, and he's just telling that his experience is happening. And you talk about, you know, wanting to have a fandom with Bubba Wallace, and he's not doing that well. This guy is now a huge, you know, fan of mine because he just explained this whole scenario and how he's trying to make change. But I definitely recommend everyone to read that article about him. Just to see that perspective from Europe, because he's like, hey, you think you have problems in America? He's going through the same thing. It's just great how he's trying to build up this movement and really challenge athletes to say, hey, you use your power of social media. I've got 8 million followers, but there still needs to be more. So it's a great article. It's actually titled To My White Brothers and Sisters, but he actually talks about his life. So if you guys are a part of the Players Tribune, definitely read that article. Kevin Prince Boateng is a guy. I'm going to be a huge fan of him just because of, you know, what was that?
I want to say something, and let's move on. Saturday, I was watching that English Premier League. The English Premier League team, on the back of their jersey, every team has a thing saying Black Lives Matter on every single English Premier team, soccer team, they're running with that. I was watching that on Saturday, and I was watching the two teams with their Black Lives Matter thing on the back of their jerseys. The game got over, and then I turned it to Channel 2 News here in Portland. And a reporter was asking Mike Pence, can you say Black Lives Matter? And Mike Pence wouldn't say.
Yeah, we'll talk. That's, see, We've still got a long way to go, everyone. So we're still, you know, we've got to keep beating the drum. That's why we want to keep it as a movement, not a moment. I know it's going to be carbon transition. We've got 20 minutes left. I definitely want Rob and JQ to talk about the most productive rookie quarterback in the NFL this season. I have a feeling both of you guys are going to have interesting things to say because, you know, Joe Burrow from Roberts, you know, obviously LSU and now going to JQ's team.
Mm-hmm. So he's an Ohio State graduate. He's an Ohio State graduate. Don't leave that out. He's an Ohio State graduate.
True
indeed.
Oh, man.
True indeed.
Hey.
When they introduce him to the starting lineup, they're going to say, from LSU, starting quarterback, Cincinnati Bengals, number 9, Joe Burrow.
Where do you get his degree from?
We give him the raspberry. They
don't say that.
So now, do you think
from
he's
LSU,
be more,
Joe Burrow,
productive?
I give
you
that.
Do you think that he's going to be productive? I had to close the door. Or do you think that Tua Tagovailoa is going to be more? You know, this is going to be an interesting topic. So Rob, JQ, you guys at the floor for this.
Go ahead, Rob. I think rookie season. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying you go ahead with your fancy fireplace. That's not your fireplace. You got like 3 steps up to your fireplace. You're balling. I see.
Get
it.
Out of here.
Go ahead, bro.
But I got to, I may be a little biased here, but I'm going to go with Joe Burrow here as far as being the
maybe
most productive.
Maybe just a little bit, yeah.
As far as rookie season. When you look at the kind of season he put up, the translation to the NFL game, he was playing in the NFL offense last year under Joe Brady, and I just think he's going to have the better translation. And I also think he's going to have the more talent from an offensive perspective, too. When you look at what he's got in the running back position, what he's got in the wide receiver position with A.J. Green, I think you're going to see an improved offensive line, maybe not on a great offensive line with the Bengals. But I think all of that sets him up for to have a little bit more success as a rookie. I think Tua's got a chance to be great. I think the thing with Tua, obviously you want to see him to stay healthy. The ability is there. But I think as far as a more productive rookie season, is Joe Burrow going to have some rookie growing pains? Absolutely. They all do. But I think he will have the most success in the rookie season out of any rookie NFL quarterback. I think Justin Herbert, obviously, out of those top 3 quarterbacks, we have the least success. I think he's still got a lot more to learn. He holds on to the football way too long still. He's got the athletic ability, but he's got to learn to get rid of the football a lot quicker here. So I think it definitely comes down to Burrow and Tua, but I think Burrow will have the most success as a rookie.
And just to echo that, if you want to just take a step back, even outside of our fandom, they've already let Dalton go. So he's walking into that starting job. You're looking at Tua, they might say, hey, we might let Fitzpatrick start the first 4 or 5 games, let you learn a little bit, and then if we go 0-5, then of course we'll just start you anyway because how worse can we be? And you got the same thing happening in L.A. with the Chargers. You got Tyrod Taylor. They might say, hey, this is why we didn't sign Cam Newton. Let's see what he can do. And then, if we go 1-4, now you start. So you're talking about those other guys maybe starting from a 4 or 5 game deficit where Joe Burrow is coming right out the gate to start for the Bengals. And I agree. He's going to have some rookie lumps. They all go through. Hell, what, Peyton Manning was, 3-13? And we started career of Peyton Manning into the
20-something interceptions, too?
Yeah, he was horrible. But if you talk about the ceiling being higher, I think it might be higher for Burrow because he's going to have every opportunity to start from day one. He's going to get all the first-team reps. If we have a normal training camp, I know we can get into that. But in terms of even the Zoom meetings, he's not sitting back there just, taking notes. They're talking to him. Like, this is what me and you are going to do. Tua and Herbert are sitting there saying, okay, I'm taking mental reps. I'm trying to learn from this guy. And then maybe by week 4 or 5, I may get in there or maybe not. Joe Burrow knows that he is the unabashed, unadulterated, unfiltered number one starting quarterback for the Bengals starting day one. And I think there's just an advantage to knowing going into that situation that you're the guy and you're not sitting behind anybody.
Don't underestimate this fact as well, too. Tua, his head coach is a defensive guy. Joe Burrow's head coach is an offensive guy. Don't underestimate those little nuggets, too.
Same with San Diego, too, right?
When you talk about Justin Herbert, you know, what you guys are forgetting there, you were Rob, you were talking about, you know, Justin Herbert holding on to the ball too long. Is he holding on to the ball too long because he didn't have the talent around him like your quarterback did? Your quarterback had all these wide receivers and tight ends and everything else that went, you know, in the draft and all these first-round draft picks. And Herbert had zero, none of them go.
Well, that's a very good point, Gary. Also sound like you're being a little Oregon biased, too, up there.
No, no, I'm not, because I'm not an Oregon fan. I'm just saying the fact. That's what we're supposed to be doing on this show, is state the fact.
Yeah.
Those are definitely the facts. And that's the same with Tua. Tua had way more talent around him.
Yeah.
Absolutely, both of those guys did. So we're just going to have to wait and see on Herbert to see with how he performs with NFL-type talent around him, because he hasn't had that in his career.
I'm not even thinking about what happened in college. I'm thinking about what's happening in pro. And I don't know if I trust Cincinnati to get that man enough help. I don't know if Cincinnati's going to get linemen that can protect them, if they're going to get running backs that are going to protect them. And if they don't, Burrow's not going to have a good – he's not going to look good.
No, he's not.
Heard of you see that big old C on JQ's –
Yeah, I see it. But it's on that team. Because football's not a one-man show. And quarterbacks, if they're running for their life, how good are they going to look? Not at all.
And Gary, you made some really good points there about Justin Herbert, too. The talent is there. His athletic ability is there. He's got the mobility. He's got the arm strength. There's no doubt about it that he has it. And, I mean, that's a really good point. We'll have to see if he can, digest the plays in the NFL with the talent base that he has. There's no question that Tua and Burrow had a plethora of weapons, especially at the wide receiver position. I think when it's all said and done, Alabama, two of those wide receivers are going to go in the first round this upcoming draft. We had two that went in this past draft. LSU had one that went in the first round. They're going to have another one that go in the first round this year's draft and probably another one next year's draft. And Joe Burrow had all of those weapons to work with him as well. So, I mean, that is a really good point. But until we can actually see it from Justin, you have to give the edge to Tua and Burrow at this stage.
You're going to get off my Bengals. You're going to get off my Bengals, Curtis.
The talent is definitely there for Justin Herbert. I mean, coming into this draft, he was actually rated higher than Burrow. And so there's no question that the talent is there.
Yeah, but, boy, Cincinnati.
I don't like where that's headed. You start with that boy stuff. Oh, boy, I know where that's headed. I don't like it.
And they can't be petty if they want to make this boy be the savior, because he can't do it himself.
I agree with that.
But they have some. When you look at that Bengals roster now, they have some talent.
They got some talent.
Joe Mixon. You look at AJ Green. You look at Tyler Boyd at the wide receiver position. I don't know what they're going to do with John Dallas Ross.
T. Higgins.
Yeah, they just drafted him, another weapon, 6'4" wide receiver. I mean, they're loaded. And like I said, they can get the protection. And I think their offensive line on paper looking a lot better. And they got I can't remember the guy they got from Kansas in the sixth round, but he's a sleeper in my opinion. He's going to be really helping them in the interior offensive line. They get Jonah Jackson coming back while on the outside. They're going to be a much improved football team. I mean, I can see the Bengals winning 5 to 6 games this year. I mean, they're not a playoff team yet, but the talent is definitely there, and they improved on defense.
We're going to start cutting people off. They keep coming over talking about that Cincinnati. I can't. We're just going to start cutting people off, just full on flat line.
Now, let's see it. Everybody, go ahead, Luke.
I don't see Cincinnati winning 4 or 5 four or five games, even with Burrow. I mean, you know, he's, you know, the jury's still, I think the jury's still out. I mean, he was great in college, but how is he going to handle a team like the Bengals? I mean, the Bengals in this. I think it's going to be a work in progress.
Oh, yeah, you did.
I know.
Hey. I was on your side, Lou, until about 35 seconds ago.
They're cute. They're going in on you now, man.
I get it because the proof is in the pudding, and if you draft them first,
exactly.
You draft them first for
that.
A reason. So you got to take the love with the hate, especially when you draft them first. There's a reason why you were able to draft first because you sucked. Yeah. So I understand why there's skepticism, and you can't really do anything about it.
Jake, I have one question for you. What's a successful season for the Bengals? What do you think? What's the number there that you think it would be successful for them with their new quarterback and everything?
If I'm being honest, I would say 6-10.
Okay. 7-9.
They are in one of the toughest divisions in football.
They are.
There is a possibility the Super Bowl champ might come out of this division.
That's true. That's why I'm honest.
The Ravens. And if you look at the Cleveland Browns, if the Cleveland Browns don't make the playoffs this year, it's a bust with that roster.
When you look
at the Ravens, I look at the Ravens and the Browns. But if you really do a talent evaluation of the Browns, I'm sorry, not the Browns, the Bengals versus Steelers, I think the Bengals have more talent. I really do. When you look at a deep dive talent evaluation of those two teams, I know people are going to pick the Steelers over the Bengals, and rightfully so. I mean, the Bengals got a rookie quarterback. But
and
if you do a deep dive, true evaluation of talent, Steelers versus the Bengals, Bengals have more talent than roster.
I agree, but they're the Bengals, and they're never going to get the benefit of the doubt over the Steelers. That's what I'm saying. I get it. I'm just joking with y'all. But they're always going to get picked to finish last in that division for right now. So they have to come out and show and prove. And I can't really argue with that. I'm just harassing y'all. I get it. If I wasn't a Bengals fan, I would be laughing too. So it's fine.
But the other thing about Pittsburgh, y'all, I think Pittsburgh's got a top five defense. Pittsburgh is no joke on defense. Pittsburgh's going to be in a lot of games because of that defense.
Yeah,
that's true. We like to mess with the JQ, man. We're calling out all these old school names too, you know. Carson Palmer coming out.
That's
of
all good.
Hey, but everyone, I need you guys to take it easy on JQ. That was good.
Homer.
Because JQ's had
Anthony Munoz,
J.R. Smith.
Shut up.
J.R. Smith signing with the possibly signing with the Lakers, so he's kind of having a moment there too. So we'll let him kind of like get around that.
Yeah.
Too. So again.
Yeah. What do you think about that? How bad does that hurt the Lakers losing Avery Bradley?
I think it hurts them more than they're going to think because he's somebody that you don't have to run any plays for, and he's going to play hard-nosed defense every time down the court. That, to me, is a bigger loss than people give him credit for. My thing is I just don't understand the rush. Like, oh, my God, everybody wants J.R. Smith, so we got to sign him right now. Like, who in the hell wants J.R. Smith? Like, why do you have to rush and do that
right now?
How does Keith Sweat song go? Nobody wants J.R.
Smith. I don't think for one second LeBron James wants to be around J.R. Smith.
He doesn't.
I don't know how that happens.
You know what? I will give you one antidote. The other day, there was somebody riding in their car driving. And LeBron James, J.R. Smith, and I'm forgetting the third person, are riding mountain bikes down like Odell Drive and whatever in L.A., and they're filming them riding together like as a pack and chilling out. So apparently these guys have gotten over whatever happened on the court, and they're still buddies. And when I saw that, this shit.
Sounds like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, like, if that dude did that to me and I feel like he might have cost me a game, well, if Dre does that to me, as much as I love Dre, I don't know if me and him can ride our mountain bikes down the middle of a Rodeo Drive. Like, come on, bro, let's go get some popcorn and go ride our bikes. Like, we're not doing that while I'm in the pursuit of a championship. Like, it might have taken a little bit longer for us to be back cool again. You saw him pointing to him like that, and now they have to ride bikes together? That's one I don't get. I honestly think, as much as I defend LeBron, I think LeBron okayed that because I think him and JR have
yeah.
a personal relationship.
He definitely
I do.
Okayed that. He had to
okay oh, absolutely.
That.
I don't think the Lakers make that move without LeBron signing off on it. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
He has that kind of power in the league, has that kind of power in every organization he goes to. Definitely he signed off on it. It's kind of a surprise based on what happened a few years ago in an NBA Finals game one against the Warriors. And but that, you know, he obviously signed off on that move. But I agree with you, JQ. Losing Avery Bradley is going to
yeah.
be big for the Lakers. What he does on the defensive end, spot-up open shooter as well. I think from a depth, perspective, that really hurts the Lakers because you're going to really need him because the Clippers have loaded up on that bench. And I think top talent-wise, I think the Lakers are stronger. But from a depth perspective, the Clippers have, you know, Clippers go 10-11 deep right now. And I think that brings the Clippers a lot closer to the Lakers just by losing Avery Bradley.
Yep. Maybe, but does Doc Rivers go 11-10 deep in a playoff roster? Like Doc don't seem like that kind of guy.
Usually don't.
That
no.
From him.
But he has it in his back pocket if he need to, though.
He does, but if you piss people off in the long term, it's looking like, man, well, I'm not playing 3.3 minutes a game. Like, what the hell? So,
yeah,
I agree, depth-wise.
Right.
And let me just put this out there, and I hate to, you know, obviously we're still in the midst of a pandemic, and I think depth is going to be really important. You really hate, obviously we're praying that, you know, no one, you know, catches the coronavirus, anything like that from a sports perspective, and
yeah.
none of our families, friends, and even globally, we hope that this thing goes
away. I love
which time,
my worst enemy.
But from a depth perspective, you have to think about that right now in sports. You know, what if you lose a player for 2 to 3 weeks, they have to be quarantined and things of that nature. I think that's going to be very key, and not just NBA, not just in baseball, but in football too. I mean, backup quarterbacks, you're going to need depth at just about every position in all these sports, especially this season coming up this year.
Yeah, that's true. But Doc's so old school. He's going to be like, we're playing eight.
Eight. I love it.
Yeah, all right,
I know we're going to sign off soon, so I'll sign off and we'll be back next week. And
I appreciate you,
try to call my show this week if you can on Saturdays. If you can.
Yeah, call the show. I know I've got a wedding this Saturday, but I'm trying to call in next the following Saturday. I'm gonna try to show you some love, man. For sure.
Make it the 11th because we're
getting
off the 4th.
Okay, that's right. Cool deal. We gotta put that in the chat too. Thanks, Lou. Hit us up.
All right,
Saturday.
But anyway,
thank you, Lou.
All
thanks for joining
Saturday.
In.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Hi, man.
Thank you.
I love it.
It's going to be interesting. And did you guys see the story that came out of Portland? We're not going to have Trevor Ariza. And the reason why we're not going to have Trevor Ariza in Portland is because he's going through a custody battle thing with a woman. I think that hurts my heart. That he, instead of trying to make some money, he has to do a custody battle. And he needs to be with a small kid in a custody thing. That's real life. And family is way important, more important than sports. And what he's doing, I got to think it's a lot more important than being quarantined in the sport.
Well, ladies and gentlemen,
absolutely.
We thank you all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports to the 12th Man. That ends our live portion of the show. I don't believe we're going to be having an OT portion on tonight. So we're going to be back on the air next Wednesday night, same night. That's going to be July 1st on Wednesday night next week. It's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. For our friends in Hawaii, aloha, it's going to be 5 p.m. Hawaiian time. Coming to you, I got my old school Chris Paul New Orleans Hornets jersey before we change to the Pelicans. That old punk left us, but I still got the jersey.
Oh, my God.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, we're going to be back on Wednesday night next week. You don't want to miss it. Good night, people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll have to write this time about baseball being gone because baseball is back, bitches. Let's go. So ready.
So Yankees.
We're just
go
happy
Penn
that
Stripes
you got
sure.
Away, man. Hey guys, we appreciate you, Curtis and Gary. I know we took a minute to get everything started, and I'll make sure that the Zoom is up to snuff next week too. So just, you know, bear with me for that. Thought it was the same number, same link, but again,
good for you, Rob.
he got it.
Check it out.
That's what's up. He was waiting to show those off. No,
I
kind of
wear that old school gold too. You know your closet, Saints fan. I see you, JQ.
Hey, no, I got my red and gold Cincinnati Reds hat on from the All Star weekend, so I had to buy the gold shoes to go with it.
Wow!
All right, there it is. Hey guys, again, just want to say appreciate you for showing up, Curtis and Gary. We appreciate you guys. I know we kind of got a little off track here for a lot of topics. There's so much stuff to discuss, man. So again, Rob, appreciate you putting topics as always. But if we can kind of fit that in the hour, that's the goal. So we can definitely get back to normalcy and getting sleep and everything like that too. So again, we appreciate you guys. You know, we're going to try to get this going every week and keep it going. I love Zoom. So whatever we do to keep this going, let's do that too. So I know it's fun, the cowboy jokes and the ribbing, and JQ got it this week, man. So again, we appreciate you guys for sure. And I see that smirk on Gary's face because he knows he was ready to go too, man. So,
hey, Gary, one thing we do agree on is go Yankees, baby.
That's right.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Hey, gentlemen.
We're the favorites
guys
in the American League. We got to do it.
Yeah.
Ooh, y'all
got
to play.
We got Garrett Cole.
Basically.
We got the pitching staff. We got the lineup.
No excuses.
Yeah.
No excuses. And the no cheating.
Y'all got
the
Jay
LeMahieu, LSU.
East versus East,
yeah.
Baby. You got the Braves this year.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right.
The East versus
that's
the
right.
East. You got the Braves this year. Interleague is East.
Oh, yeah.
East.
We're not scared of them.
You should be.
Why?
Overconfidence is a flimsy shield, Rob. Just want to let you know that, man.
Gary, we're not scared.
Ooh.
We're not scared of the Braves, are we, Gary?
Ooh. I think we are.
It's all good. Hey. We got to play the game. That's all I'm going to say on that. On that note, I'm going to juice this out because you guys are really pissing me off, man. So, you know, go ahead. No, I'm joking. No,
I
good.
So hope
not
that happens on the day we're on the call.
Hey, Yankees
what?
Mystique always scares the Braves.
No scare nobody,
oh, my goodness.
Man.
You got jerseys with the Giants on and the Dodgers. You are killing me.
Yeah, he see. That's why. That's why he can't talk any more shit. I mean,
we'd be spotting
so
the Braves 6-0 leads, and we just come back and beat them 8-6, 9-6, 10-6.
It's been fun, guys. Have a great evening. Good night, folks. We'll see. We'll see.
All right,
hey,
y'all.
We got to play the game. We'll still play. Good night, folks. We'll talk to you soon.
You have to play the game
next week. Yep.
Good night.
Be safe. We'll see you next week.
All right, y'all.
Yep.
I'm glad you figured it out. Did you write all that down?
They're going to send a